Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, Dr. Thomas Retscher here, and I am simply thrilled to introduce my guest and my friend today, Glenn Drews. Glenn, are you ready to spread some positivity?
Let's go for it, baby. In the trumpet world, it's like playing a double high C and ripping it off at the end.
Let's rip it. Excellent.
Rip it, baby. Grip it and rip it. Let's do this.
Love it. Glenn Drews is one of the most in-demand trumpet players on the New York City freelance scene today. His diverse career has spanned the likes of jazz greats Woody Herman, Buddy Rich, Dizzy Gillespie, Gary Mulligan, and Mel Lewis, to today's pop artists Michael Jackson, Madonna, Harry Connick Jr., David Sanborn, and P. Diddy. In addition to being heard on hundreds of jingles, feature films, network award shows, and sports themes, Mr. Drews has been the trumpet voice on the popular children's educational show Sesame Street for 17 years. Currently, Mr. Drews is playing lead trumpet on his 17th Broadway production, Chicago, and leads his own jazz quintet, serving as a clinician for high school and college festivals. He has also served on the teaching staff at CW Post College on Long Island, New York, and the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. Glenn, love your story. I gave him a little overview. Take a moment, expand upon that intro, and give us a little backstage pass into your personal life.
Okay, well, I'm a freelance trumpeter in New York City, which means I don't have a 9-to-5 steady gig. And you are called on to do a diverse spectrum of musical interpretation. It could be orchestral, it could be jazz, it could be hip hop. You never know. And so you have to be a very good reader and be able to adapt at the drop of a hat to these situations. I'm also married and I'm the father of three sons. And so my work, while it's really fun to do, and it's always what I wanted to do, sometimes it gets a little tough because you're away every night, every weekend, every holiday. But that aside, it's a great, great business to be in.
You know, Glenn, thank you so much for sharing the good and the not so good of what you do. I think it's important for people to hear that. You know, I think sometimes when we hear about someone who does work that's really awesome and inspiring, we have this tendency to think that it's easy and good all the time. And you just shared that although it's definitely a great gig, it can get tough at times, you know, when you have to spend time away from your family. So thank you for sharing that. Glenn, we both can agree that life circumstances aren't always positive. For most of us, at times when life knocks us down, our thoughts are dominated by the negative aspects of that experience. Glenn, you are a man of positivity. In your opinion, what are some effects of having a negative outlook on life?
A negative outlook breeds more negativity. A positive outlook breeds more positiveness. When you get something that doesn't feel so good, and maybe you got turned down for a job, or maybe your girlfriend or boyfriend, you broke up, you know, which is hard, you know, but you take that into your gut, man, you turn it around and you put it right back out there and you turn it around. It's like swinging on a fastball. Guy throws a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. You hit it out of the park at 200 miles an hour. And love it. That's what life is, you know?
Yeah. And would you agree that maybe just even, you know, in your line of work, playing music, playing, you know, really you're translating something that's coming out of your soul, and not just for yourself, but maybe even people you play with over the years. If a musician has a positive outlook on life as opposed to a negative outlook, does that translate into their music as well?
To be sure. Say you're a leader, you know, in the jingle business, and you get guys that you hire guys, and I mean, the music business, you know, what we do, it's kind of a small community, so everybody sort of knows everybody else. You get a guy that's always complaining. Well, I don't want to play this. It's too high. I don't want to play this. It's rock. I want to play jazz. I don't want to sit next to this guy. Oh, I want to play lead trumpet, not second. You know, that kind of thing. You're not going to get called for the job. You know, and that's one of the things that I do that I think has made me very successful in this business. Guys like to have me around. I'm sort of kind of funny, but it's always good. I don't care what they want me to do, you know, play lead, play fourth. My deal is to always make the situation better. You know, if there's guys that don't play so well, don't get on them. Just, you know, get them all psyched up so they play better. Make them feel comfortable, you know. Yeah. You don't want to walk in there and just make them feel nervous. And the same thing, you know, you don't want to be nervous if you're playing. So, you know, you try to make everything a very comfortable situation. And it works so well, you know, and guys like to have me on the job.
And it's that positivity is what gives you that flexibility, and you're able to shift with the demands of what you do.
That's correct. As far as trumpet playing, you know, I'm not the greatest high note player, and I'm not the greatest jazz player, but I do everything pretty well. So that coupled with being, you know, who my personality is, who I am, it's kind of worked out pretty good, you know. So let's hope it keeps going.
And I can personally attest, anytime that I've been in your presence, I don't think I've ever had a frown on my face. I'm always laughing, always smiling. And that's, you know, that's a testament to you and the kind of person and character that you are.
You know, Tom, think about it. It's so easy to smile. Physically, it's easy to smile. It's much harder to frown.
I'm smiling right now. Listen to you.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. So am I. And it is. It's just easier to smile. And look, life is going to kick you in the teeth sometimes. But, you know, you can't take it personally, and you just fire back at it. You know, whatever it does, let it toughen you up. You know, I think sometimes the generation now, you know, we try to make things good for our kids. But I think sometimes we haven't done as good a job as we can, because when the world gets a hold of you, you know, it's not like coming home to mommy and daddy, you know, and like the world is tough out there.
Right.
But you got to be able to stand up to it. So you got to be mentally tough. You have to be physically tough.
So true. And, you know, Glenn, I'm glad you definitely answered my next question already, saying that I was going to say, how does that positive mindset in your life affect the work? And you answered it. It's just that it allows you to adapt to any changing situation, and the fact that it is, you know, that there is some variability in what you do. By always being open to opportunity and having that broad spectrum of style and your playability, you're golden for any kind of opportunity that comes your way.
Well, and you know, the other thing which I tell my sons, I tell my students, I said, you never know where the call is coming from. Okay? So I'll just give you an example. How I got the Sesame Street job was because 15 years before I actually got the call, I did a free rehearsal in the basement of a restaurant with a big band. And the guy that was the engineer at Sesame Street was the piano player on that rehearsal. And when the job came open, he said, there's only one guy, got to get Drews. And so you never know where the call is coming from.
Love it. Yeah.
So, and you do everything. Just throw yourself out there. You could be the greatest player in the world. if you are sitting home in your basement, nobody's going to find you. You got to get out there, you know, say, world, here I am, baby. Come get me.
Come get me. So, Glenn, take us to a moment maybe where you failed at something in life and teach us how you use the power of positivity to kind of flip the script and turn that failure moment into more of a teachable moment.
Okay, I don't know about teachable, but I'll give you one instance that comes to mind. My brother was on the road. My brother Billy is a saxophone player, and he was on the road with the Woody Herman Band, and he had this horrible accident where he fell down the staircase and cracked his skull open, and he had to get a plate inserted in his head. And shortly after that, the guy that had gotten my brother on the band called me to come out and play the jazz chair. So I always kind of felt it was like a little guilt. You know, my brother's fine, by the way. But anyway, I thought it was a little guilt that they hired me. And when I went out, I wasn't really comfortable in that particular chair. There were five trumpets in that band. So there was your lead trumpet, second was split lead, the third and fourth were the jazz chairs, and then the fifth trumpet was just, he just played the parts. Anyway, I went out there, and right from the first night, I knew it wasn't the right place for me, and I kind of toughed it out for 3 months, and finally, they let me go, and you know, it's kind of a drag because that was the first time I had ever gotten fired from a band. And I had gotten fired from my playing, not anything else.
Right.
But I deserved to be fired because I wasn't doing the job. And then lo and behold, they did a European tour and they came back and one of the guys left. He gave his notice and he was playing the third chair. And they called me back for that chair, which was the perfect chair for me because I had, you know, some of the jazz duties and also some of the, I split the lead with the lead player. And it was the perfect place for me to be. And it kind of set my move to New York off because I met so many people. And, you know, it was, I sounded good in that chair. I didn't sound good in the fourth chair. So it became great when I moved to New York. All the guys that were alumni of the band started to get me gigs. And, you know, it's like a little brotherhood.
And you may never have had that opportunity, you know, if that whole thing never happened.
If I had gone home and sulked. And, you know, you have to realize, you have to be real. You know, Clint Eastwood said it, you have to know your limitations.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I knew it was a bad fit, but I didn't go home and sulk because I got fired. You know, they did it was the perfect thing for me. And you use that and turn it around and come back. And then I came back and it was great. It was better than ever.
Excellent. And guys, that's, if you listen to Glenn, you know, everybody's going to fail. It's inevitable. But, and of course, we're not saying when these things come our way and life kicks us in the teeth, to just, you know, smile back and expect and say, and feel that it never happened. But, you know, after you collect yourself to recognize that through that experience, you can either, like you said, wallow in pity over yourself or you can use it. And I think, Glenn, even though you said it wasn't, I think it was that teachable moment because it drew you to these new connections and people and relationships in New York that really kicked it off to a whole new another level for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, it's, life is going to kick you in the teeth, and it's going to kick you in the teeth over and over again. But, you know, that's how you learn. You know, if everything was easy and you did it right the first time, you'd never learn anything. Failure makes you want to go out and say, okay, I can do this. And, you know, and I was talking before about relationships, you know, growing up as a young man or a young woman, you know, you probably have broken up with the loves of your life three or four times or something, but
right,
you know, hopefully the right one comes along, which in my case it did. And I didn't get married till I was 40, but it's great, you know? So, you know, like life and nature, it kind of knows what it's doing. You know, you just gotta, you know, let it take its course.
That's right. Yeah. So Glenn, I believe that mentors, they're so crucial, you know, for helping us build a mindset of positivity. So tell us, I know sometimes it can be hard to pinpoint one because sometimes there's a lot of people that help us, but tell us about one in your life and how they helped you.
Well, I have to give you a couple because, A, you start off with a set of parents.
That's right.
And I know your folks and my parents were great. You know, the time and the energy they devoted to us and, you know, just trying to teach you the right way to live. The next guy was my teacher in high school. And he made it rough for me, I'll tell you. But he knew that that's the only way that I learned, you know. And my teacher in college was the same way. My first lesson in college, he had given me a whole bunch of etudes and studies to work on. There were about six or seven things, you know. And, of course, I went and I met some guys that were playing jazz. And I never looked at the stuff. And I got to my first lesson. And this guy actually looked just like my father.
Wow.
And he was tougher than my high school teacher. Anyway, he's behind the desk and he had this thick German accent. And he goes, "Oh, you don't know that one." And then, "Let's go to number two." "Oh, you don't know that one." You know, after about three of these things, he slowly got up, went to the door, opened the door, took the music off my stand and flung it into the hallway. Took my trumpet case, threw that into the hallway, then took me by the scruff of the neck and threw me into the hallway and screamed out, "Don't ever play for me again. I'm sorry about that." That's the quote. And all the rest of the freshman trumpet players are out on the bench waiting for their lesson. And they're going, "Holy mackerel, if he did that to Drews, what's he going to do to us?" Anyway, he turned out to be, I'll give you another little, the end of the story. Okay, so I came up as kind of a self-taught commercial player. And the guys that did all the auditions were these like real classical guys. So for the second straight year, I was in like the last chair of the last band. And but they had the auditions and the top group in the school was the wind ensemble. And when they put the personnel up there, the top cornet spot was missing. And it was all grad students and seniors. So I went to my lesson, the first lesson the next year, and he said to me, 6 o'clock, room 118, you're playing first cornet and don't make me regret it." And he upped my ante so well and put the pressure on, but it was great.
You needed that pressure.
He knew that that's what it took for me. And like a good football coach would right. do, you know, you have to handle every player a different way. But And I'll just follow up with when I finally moved to New York, some of the older players, you know, took me under their wing and got me, you know, when they said, "Can you go cover me on this record date or, you know, play at this rehearsal band?" And this, and they got me, you know, introduced to all the contractors and the other trumpet musicians and stuff like that. So, and that was it. That's how I started. So mentoring, it's a constant thing. It's a stream that runs through your life. And, you know, it runs over the rocks, runs over the sand, runs over the mud, back on the rocks. But these people mentor you. And without them, I don't know what I'd be doing today.
And you agree that, you know, they see the bigger picture for you before you actually see it.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, when you're young, you don't have, you have no idea, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're prancing through life, you know, but people look out for you and that's what you right. try to do.
Awesome. So Glenn, let's talk about, cause I, you know, you're a mentor, so many people, you know, in the music industry. So maybe share with us the most gratifying moment you ever experienced, maybe teaching someone or mentoring someone.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. Because I have some students and, you know, I'm doing to the young players what the older guys did for me. You know, I always try to bring them along. But the one that I remember the most, I was on tour two falls ago and with the Birdland Band. And we were doing a clinic at Michigan University, University of Michigan. And we went in, the three of us, the three trumpet players from the section went in, and we listened to their players. And the other two guys were more classically involved with the classical repertoire and so forth. But they had one girl that was trying out. She had an audition for a pops orchestra outside of St. Louis. And so they had her play for me. And I gave her a couple of very good tips, simple things. And she ended up getting the job.
Wonderful.
So, I mean, I was so, they called me, 2 months later and said she actually got the job. And I felt like I really had helped her. But it's just so easy. But, you know, if you have to get somebody to listen to you, you know.
Right. And I think for someone, even, you know, anyone listening out there, you know, you can be a mentor today to someone. You know, even if you feel like you have a lot going on in life, you never know. Someone in your life may be dealing with something worse off than you are. And it, just asking those questions, asking them how they're doing. You know, sometimes people are not going to open up unless you actually reach out and talk to them. And you'll find that just by helping and giving a conversation to someone and how it may impact their life, it's going to come back 10 times, tenfold to yourself, and it may start to lift your life up and increase the positivity in your own life. So you never know.
Oh, sure. And it, you know, it doesn't have to involve the occupation.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I'll see a guy that's struggling, maybe, you know, and he's got a kid, you know, and he's in town and he's not working a lot. And I'll say, come on out to my house. You know, let's I get one of my bikes out. We go for a little bike ride, just completely away from the situation. Right. You know, there's another world out here. Or come on out to my house. I'll take you fishing. You know, we'll sit on the beach. You know, it's a whole, you know, just get away from that situation you're in and just step out of the circle for a minute.
There it is. And there it is. Maybe not even, you know, keeping the conversation to a minimum, just giving someone an experience and maybe, like you said, taking them out of that negativity maybe they are in for a moment, letting them see a bigger picture and helping them just relax and kind of collect their thoughts.
Well, sure. There's a whole world out there, you know, that I know we get caught up in our, you know, like I say, in my business, in my world, you could get called for a Broadway show. It could run 10 years. It could run 10 performances. So all the work you put into it, you know, it could go down the drain in a minute. And then now you're sitting, you know, you don't have anything because right. You turned down everything else because right. You have a show. And it's we have this roller coaster world. And my wife is so hip to it because she knows that if I have to turn a gig down, like we're going to a wedding this weekend. So they're driving down on Wednesday, tomorrow. And I'm flying down on Friday because I have this gig that I have to do on Thursday night. But she knows it's not just the gig. It's not the money. It's every gig is an account. And you lose the account. If somebody else plays and you lose the account, it's a whole series of gigs, you know.
Right.
So my world is so much different in that way. Anyway.
Very interesting. Glenn, can you tell us more about Chicago?
Well, Chicago's a really hard job. The orchestra is on stage. There's 13 of us, and some of the most busiest studio guys from the 80s and 90s are in this band. So it's a great band musicianship level, but it's also a great job. We're on stage, and it's 2 hours. We have to watch 8 girls run around in lingerie, you know. So it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Right.
But the cast is great. And it's just a fun show to play, and it's a pleasure to go to work every night.
Wonderful. And I'm sure everyone listening, everybody knows, you know, the kids show. Talk about it. I mean, everybody knows it.
The kids show was great. Sesame Street. Like I say, you didn't know what you were going to have to do that day. Are we going to play excerpts from operas, you know, all kinds of stuff. And one time I had to go in and make the sound of a goose. How do you do that? You know, but I took out the tuning slide, turned it around and played something and it kind of worked, you know. And I used to have to play Snuffleupagus elephant sounds.
That's awesome.
You know, it wasn't all just music, but it was so much fun. And there was no pressure. There were seven of us. You know, if one of the guys screwed up, we'd laugh about it, go back and retake it, you know. And it was great.
A lot of creative juices flowing.
And of all the gigs that I've done with the great masters in music, the one that everybody, you know, anybody in the world knows is Sesame Street. And I'm probably the first trumpet player that any young person in the world has heard growing up. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Definitely uber cool. So, Glenn, we're coming to the end of the interview. Before we go, what's one book you can recommend to our listeners?
All right. The one that comes to mind first, it's a book by the legendary basketball coach from UCLA, John Wooden, and it's called A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court. And talk about positive. All the players that he had, the Kareem Jabbar was the most famous probably, but he won a bunch of NCAA titles. And you start the book, and his first thing that he did at the first practice every year was he taught guys the correct way to tie their shoelaces. So that's how it starts. But
it all starts small.
This guy was terrific. And it's all, his thing was, if you prepare, and if you really prepare, then when it comes time for the game or the gig or the performance or whatever, if you are prepared, the rest of it will take care of itself. And that's his whole thing.
It's that time when nobody's watching, right? That preparation when nobody really knows what you're doing or behind the scenes, behind the doors, the practice. So when it is that moment for you to shine, guys, the practice comes through, you know?
Oh, whether it's, yeah, whatever it is, whether it's a golf swing, whether it's what we do. I mean, when we walk into a studio, you don't know what's going to be on that piece of paper. And you have to be prepared to do anything. If it's, you know, if it's a jazz solo, you might have to sound like Louis Armstrong or try to sound like Miles Davis or Dizzy or, you know, pick one. That happens quite often. You have to know styles. So this is all in the preparation, whether it's listening, whether it's actual practice time that you put in. But when it's too late when you get on the when you get on the job, if you don't know what they're asking for, you won't get the call again. So you got one shot to get it right.
Awesome. Glenn, I'm, as always, buddy, I'm truly inspired by your positivity, your message in life, you know, just what you do. Music is a huge part of my life. It really is the gateway to the soul, I believe. So thank you so much for sharing your personal stories.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And it's always good to hear your voice. Stop by the house someday.
I will. give our listeners maybe one little last tidbit of wisdom. Share with us the best way that we can connect with you, which I think, you know, you already said that they can come hear the trumpet sound at the Broadway show Chicago. Maybe one other way, and then we'll say goodbye.
Well, I play every Friday at Birdland, the jazz club in New York City. It's on 44th Street between 8th Avenue and 9th Avenue from 5 to 7 every Friday. I am on Facebook if they'd like to get a hold of me. Or my email address is drewblue@optonline.net. That's DREWBLUE at OPTonline.net.
Boom. Guys, come on. What? The transparency there is, guys, he just gave you his email. If there's any musicians out there and maybe you're struggling or something, reach out to Glenn. You never know just taking that shot and taking the opportunity and reaching out to someone and what kind of relationship may form from that. So, Glenn, thank you so much for providing that.
Oh, can I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
With all this social media, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and please don't put anything on there that you wouldn't want your parents to see.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I asked a guy one time, I said, he was hiring for some I forget what it was, but it wasn't involved with me, but he was hiring dancers, I think, you know. And I said, do you ever go to the social media and check? He said, that's the first place I go. So they know about you before you walk into that room. So don't put anything on social media. Walk in with a handshake, look them in the eye, and say, baby, I'm your man. All right.
Love it. Love it. Glenn, so our audience, they're well aware they can find links to everything of value that we mentioned in today's episode by going to positivityeffect.com, clicking on the podcast tab and finding you in the archives, or just entering in your name in that search bar and your show notes page will pop right up. So Glenn, seriously, man, thank you so much for being so generous with your time, your stories, your energy. I love your character. You are an awesome individual. Well,
thanks, Dr.
So
Tom.
Empowered, of course.
Well, come by the house. Let's play some hockey.
Love it. Absolutely. So Glenn, be well, right, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners, just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care and talk to you next Monday.